From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, February 26th, 2025. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. What do you say we get things officially launched here with...
The Daily Denogram!
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, an educational system isn't worth a great deal if it teaches young people how to make a living, but doesn't teach them how to make a life. Mm-hmm. Hey, I tell you what, I would be satisfied if they could just teach them to read before they graduate.
Yeah.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Oh, here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history. Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Okay.
You might be quizzed.
I'll bite. Go ahead and throw your quiz. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1914, HMHS Britannic. That stands for Her Majesty's, or was it His Majesty at that time? I think it might have been His Majesty's Hospital Ship, Britannic, sister to the Titanic, was launched at Harland and Wolff Shipyard in Belfast. A few years later, it was serving as a hospital ship during World War I. And it ended up hitting a mine in November of 1916. Gad, what a waste. And it was on this day in 1919, the Grand Canyon was designated a national park. The government decided that would be a far cheaper alternative to trying to fill it up to build highways and subdivisions.
Money, money, money.
I'm going to resort to a sweeping generalization here for a moment just to illustrate something. Ever since the year 2000, the Democrat Party has taken the Republican Party to court, or a Republican administration to court, if the Democrats don't agree with something. And it started with the hanging chads in Florida in the 2000 election. And, it's just the way they do business. Now, when you are referring to the Associated Press, the AP, they're just a bunch of Democrats. They always have been. Well, back on Monday, a federal judge handed President Trump's White House a really nifty victory, and that is this flap over kicking the AP out of the White House press room because the AP will not change their style book. I'll explain what the style book is here in a minute. But they won't change their style book to reflect the Gulf of America. So the Trump administration has basically kicked the AP out of the White House press room. Now, anybody who wouldn't expect Trump to do something dramatic like that just doesn't understand Donald Trump. But I think, now that we're into the second term, we had a previous term of 4 years with him. We pretty much know what to expect, right? And so when something like this happens, instead of indignation on our part, Donald, you have to do that. Now we're like, we understand it. Way to go, Donald. That's how you handle this. Kick him out of the White House press room. Besides, we all know that the AP is never going to be complimentary or voice their approval of anything that the Trump administration does. The AP is there just to badmouth conservatives in general, and that's including you and me. So, we had a federal judge who ruled against the Associated Press. So they're going to stay out of the White House press room until they change their style book. All right, let me explain what the AP style book is. It's trash, really. But it's accepted by news organizations all over the free world. I'm going to try to draw a nice analogy here, an example. Let's just say that, I'll use a Houston area freeway as an example. Let's just say that there was an accident that killed three people on Houston's Gulf Freeway. That's the freeway that goes from Houston down to Galveston. The style book at AP would have all the newsrooms write the headline this way. Three people die in fiery crash on Gulf Freeway. Not three people died, but three people die. Now, as you dig into the AP style book, you realize in short order that it's really an affront to the English language, and it is stupid. Well, in this particular instance, AP doesn't want to change their style book to reflect the Gulf of America, probably for two reasons. Number one, they don't agree with it. And number two, they don't want to go through the work that it's going to take to change the style book. What do you want to bet? Well, let's see what a couple of other news organizations have to say about it. Here's how Axios, which is far left, here's how they reported it. A judge on Monday rejected the Associated Press emergency motion to to rescind the White House ban against its access to some press events as he sought more details on the circumstances surrounding the case. Why it matters. It's a win for the White House, at least for now, as they seek to restrict the AP's access following the news organization's decision to use Gulf of Mexico rather than Gulf of America. So, and they had another section here, subtitled Driving the News. In a hearing on Monday afternoon, Judge Trevor McFadden requested more details about the events that the AP has been barred from and the number of reporters allowed into larger events. McFadden didn't find any reason to immediately stop the administration's ban, but he said that case law seems to be against it. All right, so there's your little caveat. But in another subtitled section called The Big Picture, Axios writes, the ruling comes after the White House asked the judge to allow it to continue barring the AP from some press events. It argued in a court filing on Monday that access to the president is at his discretion and not a constitutional right. The filing said that just because the AP may have long received special media access to the president doesn't mean that such access is constitutionally compelled in perpetuity. The White House hailed the judge's order, saying in a statement, asking the President of the United States questions in the Oval Office and aboard Air Force One is a privilege granted to journalists, not a legal right. All right, so let's go over to another left-wing publication, the New York Times, and they wrote, a federal judge cleared the way on Monday for the White House to continue barring the Associated Press from covering news events with President Trump, extending a legal fight over freedom of speech and press access, which Mr. Trump has long sought to challenge. Now, the Associated Press sued several top Trump administration officials last week, accusing them of violating the First and Fifth Amendments by barring its reporters from press events. The White House began turning away the wire services reporters this month, raising objections to its editorial decision to continue to refer to the Gulf of Mexico in its coverage, rather than calling the body of water the Gulf of America. Now, something here I want to just toss in here before I continue. And that is, if you're in the White House press room and you resort to really bad behavior as a reporter, they can eject you. All right? That does not go against the First Amendment. Just throwing that out there. Then the article continues, Judge Trevor N. McFadden of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, who was appointed by Mr. Trump, said the Associated Press's circumstances were not the type of dire situation that would require emergency intervention against the White House, in part because the organization could still report the news through shared reports sent out to all media organizations in the White House Correspondents Association. Good point. Now, while Judge McFadden said he was hesitant to immediately force the Trump administration's hand, he seemed sympathetic to arguments against the White House, including that its actions appeared to be intended to coerce or punish the news organization over a language choice, which he repeatedly said amounted to viewpoint discrimination. Okay, I'll go along with that. So after reading his ruling, he warned the lawyer representing the Trump administration that legal precedent from other cases in which the White House had banned specific reporters was uniformly unhelpful to the White House. He ordered an expedited hearing to consider an injunction against the Trump administration, ahead of which both sides could introduce more evidence. The other day, Mr. Trump was talking energy again, and he called for the Keystone XL pipeline to start being built. Nobody says resumed. I thought they had already started that thing. But just the same, in his words, he said, easy approvals, almost immediate start. If not them, perhaps another pipeline company. We want the Keystone XL pipeline built. And here is Trump's statement on Truth Social. He said, our country's doing really well. And today I was just thinking that the company building the Keystone XL pipeline that was viciously jettisoned by the incompetent Biden administration should come back to America and get it built. Now, I know they were treated very badly by sleepy Joe Biden, but the Trump administration is very different. Easy approvals, almost immediate start. If not them, perhaps another pipeline company. We want the Keystone XL pipeline built. Amen. According to a report published by the Biden administration's Department of Energy, the pipeline would have created between 16,000 and 59,000 jobs. Boy, that's a wide range. Now, as Fox News reported it, they had a little article on their website. It said, in December 2022, the Biden administration's Department of Energy published a report that said the Keystone XL project would have created between 16,149 and 59,000 jobs and would have had a positive economic impact of between $3.4 and $9.6 billion, citing various studies. Daniel Turner, the founder and executive director of Power the Future, shared with Fox News Digital in a previous statement, quote, Joe Biden's action cost tens of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars, and every American family is still paying more every day. All true. The system was designed to carry oil from Alberta to states like Illinois, Texas, and Oklahoma. In January, Danielle Smith, the premier of Alberta, Canada, said that she was interested in talking to the Trump administration about potentially reopening the pipeline project. You know, and another thing this might do, too, if they could resume this project, because I thought it was already started. Maybe not physically, but certainly administratively it was started. If they could just resume this project, this would be a great vehicle to heal the ruffled feathers between our two countries, Canada and the United States. More media news here as MSNBC host Rachel Maddow eviscerated her own network Monday night, which I expected her to do, for dumping left-wing firebrand, as she is labeled. She's worse than that. Joy Reid, and canceling the shows of other hosts who aren't white, in a major cable shakeup. Now, understand this about MSNBC. The entire network editorially is obsessed with race. And it doesn't work to their benefit at all. People are turned off by this. People of all races. So Maddow, during her eponymous show called Reed's Ouster, A Bad Mistake, as she also stood up for behind-the-scenes staff across the network who are also at risk of losing their jobs and being forced to apply to new positions if they want to stick with MSNBC. And a good many of them probably won't be able to because that network or sub-network is going down. And it's going down quickly because sets are being turned off all over the country. People can't sit comfortably and watch this kind of racism. And when it comes from a black person, does that make it easier to watch? Of course not. Nobody likes a 24/7 recitation of racist ideals. Now, even though Rachel Maddow, who's 51 years old, is considered to be the face of the network, she only appears once a week as Mondays. And she didn't hold back from addressing the elephant in the room, if you want to call it that. She says, I love everything about her. She's talking about Joy Reid. I've learned so much from her. I have so much more to learn from her. My God, really? How can anybody admire an individual who harbors so much hatred in her soul? I mean, a person like Joy Reid would not be tolerated in any other workplace in the country. She wouldn't. I'm not even sure the Black Panthers would like to have her within their midst. So Maddow says, I don't want to lose her as a colleague here at MSNBC, and personally, I think it's a bad mistake to let her walk out the door. It's not my call, and I understand that, but that's what I think. Really? Rachel Maddow thinks? Oh, you could have fooled me. And leading up to Maddow's monologue, the readout put on its final program Monday, in which Reid got a hero's send-off from other colleagues, including Maddow, of course. Reid's departure isn't the only change either coming to MSNBC. Under the new president, they have their gal by the name of Rebecca Cutler. Alex Wagner, who was supposed to handle the 9 p.m. hour Tuesdays through Fridays after Maddow scaled back, was replaced by former Biden White House press secretary Jen Psaki. You might remember that. I don't know if you ever check in with MSNBC. I don't. But I do see clips on YouTube occasionally. And a series of weekend hosts are also having their shows canceled. But Maddow says, it's also unnerving to see on a network where we've got two, count them, two non-white hosts in primetime. Both of our non-white hosts in primetime are losing their shows, as is Katie Fang on the weekend. And that feels worse than bad, no matter who replaces them. That feels indefensible, and I do not defend it. See, again, this fixation with race. Race is everything. Now, let's get into a little bit about, let's dig a little deeper on Joy Reid. She's part Congolese and Guyanese, while Wagner is part Burmese and Fang is South Korean. Wagner and Fang are expected to stay with the network and work in different roles, and those roles will be scaled down. The Weeknd, title of the program, The Weeknd co-hosts Michael Steele. You remember him? He used to be the chairman of the RNC. Well, he has defected to the Democrat side. Simone Sanders Townsend, who are both Black, and Alicia Menendez, who has Cuban ancestry, will replace Reid's show starting in April. And, you know, as I read these lines from the notes here, I feel like I'm a member of the Nazi Party talking about cleansing. I mean, that's what this sounds like, right? I mean, you're identifying all of these people by their background. And I find this just so disgusting and so contrary to what Dr. Martin Luther King preached. And that is that we be judged not by the color of our skin, but by our character. I have maintained most of my adult life that if we're going to fix racism, we need to fix the prejudices within every individual's soul. Racism is like fear. It's a learned character. Children learn hatred. Children learn fear. Children learn racism. And more often than not, they learn these disgusting characterizations at home. Learn it from their parents. Sometimes learn it from their friends. But it's so easy. It's so easy to teach your children just to appreciate everybody for who they are. I had kind of a unique situation with my two youngest kids. They were raised as minorities in our neighborhood, because the majority of my neighborhood that I just moved out of last year was Indian and Pakistani. If you were white in my neighborhood, which was a master plan community, very nice neighborhood. In fact, voted second nicest neighborhood in the entire state of Texas to live in. And it was very, very nice place. It's a beautiful place. Nicely laid out, beautiful homes. They had a neighborhood association that was second to none. And better still, the monthly neighborhood fees were so dirt cheap. I think I was barely paying more than $100 a month. And it was a great place to live. But my kids grew up as minorities. Especially my youngest son's best friends. They were all Indian. But they were great kids. And why should race even be a factor anymore? And I maintain that if we had started doing back in the 1960s, what Morgan Freeman proposed to Mike Wallace in that infamous interview, just stop talking about it. And you know, that begins with the media. The media, the mainstream media, has kept this monster called racism alive. They're still doing it today, and MSNBC is a prime example. So if, and I think this will happen, because MSNBC is dying, if the plug gets pulled on MSNBC and it just goes off the air, I think that'll be a great improvement in perhaps setting our society, this society known as Americans, this will set our society on the right path. Maybe we can recover from these centuries of racism. My God, for all the reasons that you could possibly dislike someone, race has got to be the dumbest. More good news on the economic front. Apple is committing $500 billion to the U.S. economy in what is being described as an historic initiative. The company announced Monday an extraordinary new chapter in the history of American innovation. So what is going on here? Well, Apple's 11-figure commitment is going to roll out over the next 5 years, and it's going to involve building an advanced AI server manufacturing factory, and it's going to go in near Houston, my hometown, as well as doubling the company's advanced manufacturing fund from $5 billion to $10 billion. Can you say ka-ching? Sure you can. Now, when you refer to Apple as the tech giant, it's kind of an understatement. I think you know that, right? They're huge. They're big, big, big. And what are they? Like they're like the General Motors or Toyota of the tech business. And they plan to establish an Apple Manufacturing Academy in Detroit, as well as hire 20,000 new employees with focuses on research and development, silicon engineering, artificial intelligence, and machine learning. That's kind of an area I'm a little concerned about. Machine learning. Teaching machines how to learn. Wow. And then you're going to teach them how to think. And then you're going to teach them how to outthink us. Oh, my gosh. But anyhow, the company had a statement that they issued, and it said this new pledge builds on Apple's long history of investing in American innovation and advanced high-skilled manufacturing, and will support a wide range of initiatives that focus on artificial intelligence, silicon engineering, and skills development for students and workers across the country. And then, of course, Trump celebrated the news, saying the reason, faith in what we are doing, without which they wouldn't be investing 10 cents. Yeah, that's a good point. And let me read for you what Trump posted on Truth Social. He said, Apple has just announced a record $500 billion investment in the United States of America. The reason? Faith in what we're doing, without which they wouldn't be investing 10 cents. Thank you, Tim Cook and Apple. Which kind of leads me to wonder, to what degree was Tim cajoled by President Trump to make this move. Or maybe the move just made sense to Tim. I don't know. Because right now, of course, we're all aware of the tension between the United States, or let's just say the West, and China. Xi Jinping is not playing with a full deck these days, as you well know. The man is, well, he's got a God complex, obviously. And he wants to take on the rest of the world. He wants to dominate the world by the year 2030. His attempts to do so haven't been 100% successful. You know, these islands that he was building in the Pacific Gulf? The islands are sinking. Yeah, they dredged up all this sand and all this supposed soil to build these man-made islands, but they're not holding. They're washing away. So they're going to have to build seawalls and what have you. And the Chinese high-tech military equipment that they're making, apparently that stuff's not holding up very well either. So China has its own challenges. And in a good many instances, those challenges are themselves. So maybe in this particular situation, Tim Cook is looking at the United States and saying, you know, we ought to do our manufacturing at home. We're going to head on over to the Comedy Corner, and this time around, we're going to welcome a rookie, a fellow by the name of Mark Poulos.
A little out of it. Me and the wife's just sold the house, and we didn't plan much after that, so... Her and the kids are circling the parking lot till I get finished, and... Yeah, it's stressful, you know, we don't have any money. It's all tied up in storage lockers and U-Hauls and Xanax and marriage counseling. It's just... Stressful. It's stressful. But comedy's going good. It's going good. I just signed up to drive for Lyft. So if you guys need a ride home after the show, it'll probably be me. So, you know, I'd actually like to just give everyone a ride home tonight, if that's possible, because I need the money. So let's make that happen. People always ask, so they find out I drive for Lyft. They're like, any crazy stories, Mark, from driving? Not much, you know. I usually do it during the day. But the third ride I ever did, I picked up this kid at the university. I dropped him at his parents' house. Back out of his driveway, I glance over. This kid left cocaine in my car. Can you believe it? Oh, man, the rest of that day just flew by. I worked. I worked a three-day shift. It was crazy. I had 47 people in my car at one point. But no, yeah, comedy's okay. I travel a lot this last year. A lot of cities I've never been to before. And if I get to a city I've never been to before, I do the same thing. I check into the hotel, and I immediately go to Walmart. Because I'm like, I feel like I can get a good sense of the city. You know, just like a nice, like, sampling of the people that live there. And truth is, they're all exactly the same. Everywhere you go, it's the same cast of characters. There's always a family breaking down in the produce section. There's always a husband and wife getting divorced in the pots and pans aisle. There's always that weird guy waist deep in the $5 DVD bin. You know. They make you work for it, you know. You get the good ones at the bottom, so. Turner and Hooch, there it is. Diamond in the Rough, there it is. The things people wear to Walmart, I mean, what is going on? I mean, it's not even like dirty or tattered clothing. It's like they're wearing things to Walmart I've never seen a human wear outside of Walmart. I walked in one time, I saw a lady shopping. She wasn't even wearing a shirt. She had just pulled her sweatpants up to her armpits.
That's not so far-fetched. Get out there and make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
That's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.